Okay, today I'm going to talk to you about Go Ahead and Judge. That's the title of the message. I thought about skipping these verses because they get very personal, and so we'll just skip right over them and go on to something that's more fun. But these are God's Word, and they're true, and we're not going to skip them. We're going to stick with them. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, then God is your source. Jesus Christ is your Savior. And the Holy Spirit is your strength. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, then God is your source, Christ is your Savior, and the Holy Spirit is your strength. We're taking time this spring to go through a series that I've entitled A Christ Life. We're looking at Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, commonly called the Sermon on the Mount. More practically, Jesus is teaching his disciples, who I believe were teenage boys, and he's teaching them how to live their life for God in a practical, faith-filled way. Remember that they're Jewish boys who have been raised to know the Word of God, to know the law. Their religious leaders are making sure that they obey that law in every letter. That's the goal. Jesus is helping them, as we've seen in our study, that it's not about the letter. The letters still are true. It doesn't change. But it is more about our heart. Does our heart belong to God, or are we just going through the motions? And we all know that that's two different things. We can go through the motions and try to make somebody pleased with us, but if our heart is in it, then everything else about us follows. And that's what Jesus is teaching. And that is certainly true today in these words. Now, you heard Susan read these earlier, but I want to read them again from Matthew chapter 7. These are the words of Jesus teaching those young men. Listen to them again. Matthew 7, beginning in verse 1. Jesus said, "Do not judge, lest you be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged, and by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. And why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces." Okay, powerful words. We've said this before, but I'll say it again. The religious leaders of the day are those who've been in charge spiritually over the well-being spiritually of the Jewish people. They have given themselves authority over the people, mostly because they have studied and learned the word. Some of them have been given an office or some kind of authority. Many of them have taken that authority. They have a bad reputation as religious leaders of the day, and they look down upon everybody else who is not living up to their standard of how the Word of God should be lived. Not necessarily God's standard, but their standard. They're pretending to be God. Okay, so these religious leaders have made it a practice to judge those who are of the Jewish faith. But what I want us to see today, and it's exemplified throughout Scripture, but especially in these verses. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then your life should not be characterized by judging other people. Okay? So look at what he says again in verse 1. Very simply, he says, Jesus said to these young men in the crowd gathered with them on the seaside, the hillside along the Sea of Galilee, "Do not judge, lest you be judged." Do not judge, lest you be judged. Well, what does that word judge mean? It literally means if you're judging somebody, then you have already determined that somebody is guilty of something and they deserve punishment. That's what the word judge here in verse 1 means. So if you're judging somebody, then you are already determined in some form or fashion, even if it's just in your mind, that a person is guilty of something. They have violated something, they've done something contrary to what you would do, whatever your standard is. We'll talk about that in verse 2. But you have determined in some form or fashion that you should look down upon them in some way for some reason, even if it's your reason, and they should be guilty of some kind of punishment. That's what the word judging in verse 1 means. Okay, so look again at what Jesus says. He says, do not judge lest you be judged, because he knows that we all judge. So he says, don't do it. But look at what he says in verse 2. For in the way you judge, he just told them not to, but he knows they're going to. So he says, for in the way you judge, you will be judged, and by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Okay? The idea here, again, the way you judge means whatever means or method you use to look down upon somebody else in whatever form or fashion. Now, some of that we say. A lot of times it's all internal. We see somebody walking down the street, we judge them. We've determined that they're different, they're wrong. In some way, their life is less than ours because of simply the way they look. We've used our standard of measure. But if somebody looks at us and judges us, then we're like, what in the world? You don't even know me. Why would you judge me? But we just did the same thing 30 seconds ago to somebody else. Okay, so Jesus is saying to them, if you're going to judge, understand that by your standard of measure, whatever unit or an amount that you judge, that's what's going to be turned back to you. Okay? That's what he wants us to understand. Our youngest son, Colin, is 26 years old. He lives in Fort Worth. This past week, he spent an entire week on a jury. Now, he couldn't tell us about it. He didn't until Friday night. He called and everything was done. It was a felony case. He was on this jury. They were there an entire week hearing testimony. And he said, Dad, when we heard the testimony, it took us less than 10 minutes to determine as a jury that person was guilty. No question in our minds. We didn't even have to discuss it in the jury room. It took longer to get the bailiff to come and go and be done. And he said, so we go back into the courtroom. The judge reads the verdict and then sends us to the jury room. We think we're done. And a few minutes later, the judge brings them back into the courtroom and says, okay, now you're going to determine what the sentence of this person is going to be. He said, Dad, everything changed in those moments. The attitude of the jury completely changed when they had to then listen to more testimony, then go back into a jury room and determine what the sentence was going to be. Now, they had already convicted, but now they have a range of years they've got to determine. He said, that didn't take 10 minutes, that took hours over a couple of day period for them to come to an agreement as to what, because it's two different things. But you and I don't think that way when we're judging somebody, but that's what Jesus says judging is. We've determined their guilt and also what their punishment should be. That's what the word judging means here. Let's look at it in a couple of different contexts, a couple of pages over in Matthew chapter 12. I'm going to give you a couple other scriptures today because I want you to see it in different contexts. Matthew chapter 12, in a little different context, Jesus again is speaking to a group and he says this, Matthew 12, beginning in verse 36, and I say to you that every careless word that men shall speak, they shall render account for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. Our words matter to God. What we say, even if it's in our head, matters. It matters to us, it also matters to Him. Go with me to Acts chapter 10. Let's see who is the real judge. Peter is speaking, he's preaching a message, and a part of his message we pick up in Acts chapter 10, beginning in verse 40. He's speaking of Jesus, and he says, God raised him up on the third day and granted that he should become visible, not to all the people, but to witnesses who were chosen beforehand by God. That is to us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he ordered us to preach to the people and solemnly to testify that this is the one who has been appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. Of him all the prophets bear witness that through his name everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. Now Peter's preaching about Jesus. And he says that Jesus, now that he is risen from the dead, he will be the one who judges the living and the dead. The scriptures teach that there will be two judgments. One will be to determine whether you get to go to heaven or not. That's real simple. If you believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, if your heart is committed to Him as your Lord and Savior, you inherit eternal life. You get to go and be a part of the kingdom of God called heaven. If you're not, that judgment is you are eternally separated. Which in John chapter 3, we're told that if you haven't believed, you've already determined that. Jesus doesn't have to make that big of a decision there. You either belong to Him or you don't. But then the scriptures talk about a second judgment that'll be about those who get into heaven will be judged for their works. What did we do here that mattered for God? What did we do here that didn't matter for God? Rewards will be based on what you and I did for the Lord. But Jesus is the judge, not you, not me. Okay, remember I said that these religious leaders have given themselves authority because they think they have earned it. They've become superior to other people, and that's really what judging is. When you and I, in our own minds, or because somebody has given us some kind of authority, we place ourselves above other people instead of humbling ourselves before the Lord and allowing Him to work in and through us. We try to dictate to other people how they should be or not be based on our perception of how they should be or not be. Whether we're doing it or not, we usually don't take into account. We just want other people to act a certain way. We become like the religious leaders of the day. Look back at Matthew chapter 7 in verse 3 and 4 and even in verse 5. Jesus then gives them a ridiculous example to make a point. Verse 3 again, He says, "And why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye?" The speck, some of your versions say splinter or something else. That word speck literally means like a small piece of hay, just something small gets in your eye. No big deal, may cause some irritation, doesn't cause you to not be able to see. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye? Your brother is somebody that you're related to, whether that be in your family or whether that be somebody who also is a fellow believer in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You have a kinship with them. You are related to them. It's somebody you should care about already. Why do you look at the speck, the little tiny thing that is in your brother's eye, but you do not notice the log, the beam, the telephone pole that is in your own eye? That's how obvious this is supposed to be. Why do you and I do that? Look at verse 4. How can you say to your brother, notice it's your brother, "Let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye"? You ever tried to get something out of somebody else's eye? You're not doing that. That's almost impossible. They got to get it out. Somebody's got to help them. But you and I look at other people, even though we've got big issues in our own life, and we think that somehow, some way, we are better than those people, so we judge them. We determine they're guilty, and we determine that they need punishment of some kind. In comparison, this is like you having a sin issue. That's the log that is in your eye. And your brother made a mistake about something. Not a sin, but they made a mistake about something. And you, who've got a sin issue that you won't deal with, that God has tried to get you to deal with, you try to tell your brother who made a mistake that he has got problems, that he needs to get rid of that mistake and deal with the consequences of that mistake, but you're not willing to deal with God about your sin issue. That's how ridiculous this is when you and I judge somebody else. Because in every case when you and I are judging somebody else, there's always more to the story. There is with you and I. When somebody judges us, they don't necessarily know us. They don't know what we've walked through. They don't know what the story is of why we're doing what we're doing. And they haven't taken the time to ask either. But then somebody judges us and we get all upset. But we turn around and judge somebody else for something that is small, a mistake. But we don't know the rest of the story. We don't know what they've walked through. We don't know what issues they're dealing with. We don't know how bad their day has been or their life has been or their moment is. We don't understand all that, but we think that we've got somehow, some way, something better than them. Look at what Jesus calls us in verse 5. those who judge. He says, "You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." He calls us hypocrites. Why do I say us? Because he's talking to you and me. He's talking to those young men, yes, but he's talking to you and me. The word hypocrite here is a theatrical term that means to perform behind a mask. You ever put a mask on? I'm not talking about a medical mask when you have to wear that to go into a doctor's office. I'm talking about a mask that makes you a different person, or a costume that you put on for something. Maybe you're celebrating something. Maybe you're going to a kid's event or your kids are doing it. They can become somebody different. You and I can become somebody different because we're hiding behind a mask, and we can become that, whatever that character is. We can be completely out of our normal personality because we're hiding behind the mask and becoming something that we're really, truly not. Then we take that mask off, and it was just a performance behind a mask. That's what a hypocrite is. Somebody who says something but does something completely opposite. It's performing behind the mask. Jesus says, "You hypocrites, deal with your own issue first. You can't even see clear enough to deal with your brother's mistake when you've got all this sin that's your issue. Let God be the one who deals with all of that. If there's truly a problem with somebody else who's a believer in Jesus Christ, that's the Holy Spirit's role, not yours and my role, to make sure that they do what they're supposed to do. You and I have enough problems of our own. We have enough issues that we need to deal with. Why do we worry about other people and their issues or our perception of their issues that may not even be issues that God wants them to deal with?" Look with me at Romans chapter 2 and look at a couple other verses here. Again, talking about the same thing, this issue of judging. Romans chapter 2, beginning verse 1. "Therefore you are without excuse, every man of you who passes judgment. For in that you judge another, you condemn yourself, for you who judge practice the same things. And we know that the judgment of God rightly falls upon those who practice such things. And do you suppose this, O man, when you pass judgment upon those who practice such things and do the same yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God?" I mean, how ridiculous is that? That you and I think that if we judge somebody else, we're somehow immune to God's judgment. He likes us better than everybody else in the entire world. And so he's going to skip over us because we're better than those that we're judging. Well, that's what judging is. We're putting ourselves as the judge over somebody else and what they're doing or not doing, when that's not our role. We've already seen it in his word. Jesus is the one God designates as the judge. He's going to judge the living and the dead. He'll take care of it all in the end. It's not my responsibility. It's not your responsibility to be the judge over somebody else. Look at James chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. This reminds us of the same thing that we saw earlier. James chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. James 4, 11 and 12. "Do not speak against one another, brethren. He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge of it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you who judge your neighbor?" Again, he's talking about Jesus. He's the only one who's the judge. He's the only one who's the lawgiver. You and I can't do that, but you and I like to do it in our spare time and sometimes even when we don't have time. We like to judge other people, even if it's just in our head. But Jesus says, don't do that. So then he moves to verse 6. Let me read verse 5 again, because I think verse 5 and 6 go together, even in some versions of your Bible. There's a heading in between the two. We're going to put them together, and I'll explain why. Verse 5 again says, "You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces." Let's take verse 6 at face value first. Jesus said, "Do not give what is holy to dogs." The word holy here literally means things that are dedicated to God's service, things that are important to the kingdom, godly things. Okay, some people say these were things that maybe were used in the temple. Maybe so. But they're things dedicated to God's service. He says, don't give those to dogs. This literally means somebody, a dog that's a street dog, that's a rabid dog that's running the streets, doing whatever it wants to, no discipline, no owner, just runs. But the word here, if you dig deeper, the word literally means a sexually perverted person. Don't dedicate, don't throw to dogs things that are dedicated to God's service. Okay, that's what it says literally. He also says don't throw your pearls, things that you value as precious. A pearl is something that's precious, a gem, something that is important, something that has value to you. Don't throw that before swine or pigs, literally a hog. Don't throw it there. Why? Because hogs are just looking for something to eat. They don't value the pearl. They don't see it as something valuable. They're going to trample it when they realize it's not food because it's not of value to them. It has nothing that they can do with it to benefit them in any way. So that's the literal understanding here. And you and I can read all kinds of commentaries. There's all kinds of opinions here. But I believe this ties into the judging. Here's why. I think that what God is saying here is that we need to be careful about what we say and think and do towards other people. If God has created us, which he has, his word declares that he has created us, that he wove us together in our mother's womb, that he cares about each one of us, that Christ died for us because God so loved the world, that we need to be careful when we are talking down about his creation, whether we think the person is doing right or wrong. It's not our role to be their judge. Can we encourage somebody? Absolutely. Can we share truth with them? Absolutely. But if we're judging them, that's completely different. That's now we're making excuses about them. He says, don't throw your pearls. Things are precious before swine. They don't value those things. Again, the idea is if you and I are judging someone, we don't know the rest of the story of what's going on with them. If we're judging them for the way they look because they look different than us, if we're judging them for the neighborhood that they live in because it's different than us, if we're judging them for the job or their attitude or something they said or didn't say or somebody they're hanging out with or that they're not hanging out with, if we're judging them, if we're finding them guilty and they deserve punishment, we're judging them, then we have done the same thing. We've disregarded the things that God values in his kingdom, the people that he desires a relationship with. And in some cases, when you and I judge them, then we're saying they're not even worthy of hearing the good news of Jesus Christ. Because we despise them for whatever reason, even if it's just in the moment. And I think we have to be careful. These verses can also understandably mean, as Jesus is sharing with his disciples, be careful about discerning as you share the message of Jesus with other people. If they're not valuing the gospel message, the truth of God's word, don't continue to try to beat them over the head with it. Be like Christ around them if you have that opportunity, but quit trying to beat them over the head with the message of the gospel. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus told his disciples when he sent them out for one of the first times to go spread the message of the good news of Jesus and to heal people, he said, if you are not received in the town, shake the dust off your feet and move to the next town. He didn't say, stay there until you convert everybody in the town. Use your discernment, let the Holy Spirit guide you, but there comes a point where the message is not received, then move on. Quit trying to beat somebody over the head with the message. Be Christ to them, but it's okay to move to the next person, to somebody who will be receptive and responsive. Again, he's not saying you can never have anything to do, never pray for those people, but he told the disciples in Matthew 10, shake the dust off your feet if they're not going to receive you in that town. The truth of the gospel, they're not going to receive that message. Again, he didn't say disregard them. Some of you have family members that are not, they don't care about the message of the gospel, and you've tried. So don't just keep trying to, every time you get together, tell them about Jesus if they're going to be against that completely. Just be Christ to them. Serve them. Encourage them. Pray for them. But you don't have to continue to go sit down with them at every family gathering. Say, let me tell you about Jesus. If they're contrary to that, be careful with that. So Jesus is very practical here in helping us try to understand that we are not the judge, regardless of our position. Me as a pastor does not make me judge over you. I got my own problems. I got my own issues. I just have a position. That doesn't mean I'm supposed to judge you. I don't know your whole story, even if you tell me a part of it. My role is to point you to the Word of God and help you in your relationship with God. Not to judge you for who you are. Same with me. Just because I'm in front of you doesn't give you the right to judge me. You don't know the whole story. Nor do I know your whole story. We need to trust God and allow our hearts to be right before Him and humble ourselves before Him. Let Him take care of the people and the things that are most important, because that's His role, not ours. And if you're a believer in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, then God is your source. And if you're a believer in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, then truly Christ is your Savior. And if you're a believer in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, then the Holy Spirit is your strength for each day. Let's pray together. Father, we love You, and we thank You for these words. I, for one, really don't want to hear them because they hit me right where I live. But Father, I thank You that Jesus is brutally honest. And so thank You for these words, because I need to live by them more. Forgive me where I've failed You, where I've judged other people, even if it's just in my mind or in my heart. But Father, that's the same thing as telling them, even if they never find out about it, because You know. And I thank You that Jesus encourages and challenges those who follow Him not to judge. That's Jesus' role, not mine. Father, help me to humble myself before You and deal with my issues, my sin, before I ever think that I could deal with somebody else's issues or sin. Father, help us to trust You and to live out the truth of Your word so that other people see You in us and then are drawn to You, not because of what we did or said, but because of You that they see in us. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.